Welcome to A-Level Religious Studies Revision, your exam-focused podcast series. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving into one of the most intellectually rich topics on the EdExcel specification, knowledge of God's existence. Specifically, we're exploring the distinction between natural theology and revealed theology, the debate between Calvin, Brunner, and Barth, and how Alvin Plantinga's Reformed epistemology fits in. Whether you're preparing for a 10-mark clarify question or a 30-mark evaluation essay, this episode will give you the tools you need to impress examiners. So grab your notes and let's get started. Section 1, the big picture. What is this topic actually about? At its heart, this topic asks a deceptively simple question. Can human beings know that God exists through their own reason and observation of the world? Or has the fall, the corruption of human nature through sin, made that impossible so that we can only know God through divine revelation? This isn't just abstract philosophy. It has real stakes. If natural theology works, then every human being, regardless of their religious background, has access to some knowledge of God. That's a powerful, inclusive claim. But if Barth is right, and the fall has completely destroyed our capacity for natural God knowledge, then only those who receive the grace of divine revelation, through Christ and Scripture, can truly know God. That's a much more exclusive and theologically demanding position. Examiners want you to understand this tension and evaluate it. Remember, AO1 is worth 40% of your marks, and AO2, your critical evaluation, is worth 60%. So you must do more than describe these positions. You must assess them. Section 2, John Calvin and Natural Theology. Let's start with John Calvin. His masterwork, The Institutes of the Christian Religion, was first published in 1536. That date is worth knowing. Calvin was a Reformed theologian writing in the context of the Protestant Reformation, and his ideas about human knowledge of God are foundational to this topic. Calvin introduced two crucial Latin terms that examiners love to see used precisely. The first is sensus divinitatis, literally the sense of the divine. Calvin argued that every human being is born with an innate awareness of God. It's not something we reason our way to, it's planted in us by God at creation. Think of it as a kind of spiritual instinct. The second term is semen religionis, the seed of religion. This is the broader disposition in human beings toward religious belief and worship. Together, these concepts suggest that natural theology is possible, that human beings, simply by being human, have some access to the idea of God. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Calvin also believed in the fall. And the fall, for Calvin, means that the sensus divinitatis has been corrupted. It still exists, humans still have that innate sense, but sin has distorted it. The result is not genuine knowledge of God, but idolatry. People worship false gods, or they suppress the truth. Romans 1, verse 18 to 21 is the key scriptural text here. Paul writes that God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, so that people are without excuse. But in the very next verses, Paul describes how people exchange the glory of God for images of created things. So natural theology for Calvin gives us enough to be accountable, but not enough to be saved. This is a subtle but crucial distinction. Calvin is not saying natural theology is useless. He's saying it's insufficient. For salvation, we need revealed theology, Scripture, the Holy Spirit, and ultimately Christ. Section 3, the Barth-Brunner debate of 1934. Now we come to one of the most dramatic moments in 20th century theology, the Barth-Brunner debate of 1934. This is essential knowledge for your exam. Emil Brunner was a Swiss Reformed theologian and a colleague of Karl Barth. In 1934, Brunner published a pamphlet called Nature and Grace, in which he argued that there is a point of contact, in German, Anknüpfungspunkt, between God and fallen human beings. Brunner's argument was that even after the fall, human beings retain something of the image of God, the imago Dei, specifically in their formal humanity, their capacity for language, reason, and moral responsibility. This means that Christian apologetics, what Brunner called eristics, is possible. You can engage with non-believers on rational grounds because they still have some capacity to receive the message of God. Brunner was careful to say this point of contact doesn't save anyone, it's not a ladder to heaven, but it does mean that natural theology has a legitimate, if limited, role. Karl Barth's response was published in the same year, and it was titled simply, 9. No, and Barth meant it. Barth's rejection of natural theology was absolute and uncompromising. For Barth, the fall has not merely damaged human reason, it has completely destroyed the human capacity for natural knowledge of God. There is no point of contact, there is no residual imago Dei that can serve as a bridge to God. The only revelation of God is in Jesus Christ, and any attempt to find God through nature, reason, or human culture is not just inadequate, it is idolatry. Why was Barth so fierce? This is where historical context becomes essential for your exam. In 1934, Adolf Hitler had just come to power in Germany. The so-called German Christians, Deutsche Christen, were using natural theology to argue that God could be known through the German nation, the German race, and the German Führer. Barth saw this as the catastrophic endpoint of natural theology. If you allow reason and nature to reveal God, you open the door to idolatry on a monstrous scale. His Christocentrism, his insistence that God is known only in Christ, was not just a theological position. It was a political and moral stand against Nazism. Examiners will award credit for candidates who contextualize Barth's Nine within the rise of Nazism. It shows sophisticated understanding of why his position was so extreme. Section 4, Alvin Plantinga and Reformed Epistemology. Our third major thinker is Alvin Plantinga, the contemporary American philosopher of religion. Plantinga's contribution is his theory of Reformed epistemology, developed in works like Warranted Christian Belief, published in 2000. Plantinga argues that belief in God can be what he calls a basic belief, a belief that is rational and warranted without needing to be inferred from other evidence or arguments. Most of our beliefs are basic in this sense. I believe I have hands without constructing a philosophical argument for it. I believe the external world exists without first proving it. Plantinga argues that belief in God can function in the same way. It can be properly basic. This connects to Calvin's sensus divinitatis. Plantinga explicitly draws on Calvin to argue that God has designed human beings with a cognitive faculty that, under the right conditions, produces belief in God. This belief is not the result of inference from the cosmological argument or the design argument. It arises directly in response to experiences of beauty, moral obligation, or contingency. The key implication for your exam. Plantinga is defending a form of natural theology, but one that bypasses the classical arguments. You don't need to prove God exists through reason. You can simply find yourself believing, and that belief can be epistemically justified. A strong evaluative point, critics argue that Plantinga's model is circular. If the sensus divinitatis is damaged by the fall, as Calvin himself acknowledged, how can we trust the beliefs it produces? And if we can't, then Reformed epistemology doesn't solve the problem, it just relocates it. Section 5, Exam Tips and Common Mistakes. Now, let's talk about how to turn this knowledge into marks. First, command words. For a 10-mark clarify question, you are doing AO1 only. Do not evaluate. Do not say whether you agree or disagree. Simply present the theological concepts with precision and depth. Use the technical vocabulary, sensus divinitatis, semen religionis, point of contact, Christocentrism, properly basic belief, and explain them clearly. Examiners are looking for accurate, detailed knowledge. For 20 or 30 mark evaluate questions, your conclusion should not be a surprise. State your judgment in the introduction. Something like, Barth's rejection of natural theology is ultimately more theologically coherent, though it risks an exclusivism that undermines the universality of God's revelation. Then build your essay to support and nuance that judgment. Examiners reward candidates whose argument is driven by a clear thesis from the start. Time management. Allocate 12 to 15 minutes for 10-mark questions and 35 to 40 minutes for 20 or 30-mark questions. Do not rush the longer essays. Depth of analysis is what separates level 4 from level 3. Common mistakes to avoid. Number 1. Do not confuse natural theology with natural law. Natural law is an ethical theory associated with Aquinas and Aristotle. Natural theology is about knowledge of God's existence. They are related but distinct. Mixing them up will cost you marks. Number 2, do not simplify Barth. His rejection of natural theology is not because he dislikes nature or creation. It is a theologically principled position rooted in Christocentrism and the absolute sovereignty of God's grace. Show that you understand why he said 9, not just that he said it. Number 3, do not write a biography. Examiners do not want a life story of Calvin or Barth. They want theological argument. Every sentence should be doing analytical work. Number four, if you're arguing for revealed theology, acknowledge the circularity problem. Using scripture to prove scripture is a logical weakness that a strong candidate will address. Section 6, quickfire recall quiz. Right, let's test your knowledge. I'll ask the question, give you a moment to think, then give the answer. Question 1. What Latin term did Calvin use for the innate sense of God in all humans? The answer is sensus divinitatis. Question 2. In what year did Brunner publish Nature and Grace, and what was Barth's response called? 1934. Barth's response was called nine. No. Question 3. What does Plantinga mean by a basic belief? A belief that is rational and warranted without needing to be inferred from other evidence or arguments. Question 4. Which scriptural passage does Paul use to argue that God's existence is evident from creation? Romans 1 verse 20. God's invisible qualities have been clearly seen since the creation of the world. Question 5. What is Brunner's term for the apologetic task of engaging non-believers on rational grounds? Eristics. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and review the relevant section. Section 7, summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. This topic is fundamentally about the epistemology of religious belief, how we can know God, and what limits that knowledge. Calvin gives us a nuanced position. The sensus divinitatis means natural theology is possible, but the fall means it is insufficient for salvation. Brunner develops this into a point of contact that makes apologetics possible. Barth rejects this entirely, insisting that only Christ reveals God, a position shaped as much by the political crisis of 1930s Germany as by pure theology. And Plantinga offers a contemporary defense of natural theology through the concept of properly basic beliefs, drawing directly on Calvin's legacy. For your exam, the key evaluative question is, does the fall destroy or merely damage the human capacity for natural knowledge of God? Your answer to that question will determine whether you side with Barth's radical Christocentrism or with the more moderate positions of Brunner and Plantinga. Remember, AO2 is 60% of your marks. Have a clear, sustained argument. Use the technical vocabulary. Contextualize the Barth-Brunner debate historically. And don't forget to link to related topics. The problem of evil, religious experience, and the nature of faith all connect to this material. Good luck with your revision. You've got this. I'll see you in the next episode.